Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I welcome you, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We're waiting for our Lord, aren't we? He's coming any day. He's coming any day to come and get us and get us out of here. We're not going to be here during the tribulation like the amillennialists and the rest of them say, but the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says the Lord's coming to get us. There's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And the tribulation period is a time of condemnation, definitely. You know what? Brothers and sisters, I know there's a lot of situations and a lot of different things going on in your life and stuff like that when it comes to living for the Lord, and there's nothing easy about living for the Lord, but the thing about it is the Lord said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and it is, and it is. The Lord's yoke is easy, what he has us to carry is easy, and his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You know, you ought to do right, whether it pays off in this life or not. There's a lot of people there's so many different situations in this life and different things going on because there's a war, there's a battle going on. And the enemy is always changing things up and causing strife and causing problems everywhere. And you know that he's going to cause problems and somebody's life that wants to be around God's Word and wants to study God's Word, like what you're doing right now. And he's going to give you problems. Expect attack from him. You don't have to like it, but expect it. And do right because you want to do right. Do right because it's the right thing to do and that it's pleasing before the Lord. And that it's going to pay off. But you ought to do right whether it pays off in this life or not. Now, the Lord says that he rewards us, and he does, and you know he does, because he's rewarded you before, and he's done things that are so wonderful that they're without words. Don't you remember the times that he's done things, and you've said, Lord, you did that. You did that for me, and you just have thanksgiving, saturating you. I mean, you're just so thankful to the Lord because he thought of you and he did what he did. Well, that's our wonderful Lord, and he remains wonderful, and he is wonderful. So let's serve him, and let's do right, whether it pays off in this life or not. It will pay off. The Lord said, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And after you've served the Lord for a while, it's no longer about rewards for you. I mean, we know that the rewards are going to be there, and we're going to appreciate them, and we're going to love them, and we're going to love the Lord even so much more for that and everything. But our reward is mostly what the Lord is teaching us along the way, and the person that he's turning us into along the way, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, well, back to our study. We're talking about judgment and judging. And in our last study, we began we're talking about human judgment, man's judgment, if you remember right. Human judgment, and what about it? Well, there's weaknesses having to do with human judgment. There's weaknesses, and what else? Well, there's not only weaknesses, but there's rules regarding human judgment, and that's the part that we left off last time. We figured out that there were some rules and that the Bible does teach some rules when it comes to judgment and judging. And remember now, when we're doing this study, we're talking to Christians. We're talking to people that are in the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom that the Bible teaches, and understanding the things of the Spirit that the natural man cannot understand. Now, this is also, God's Word is even good for the lost. I mean, if a man lived by what God's Word says, even if he wasn't saved, he'd be better off, but until he dies, that is. But the problem is that he's an enemy of God if he's not born again and he rejects Christ. He's the enemy of God. and the wrath of God abides on him. But the facts remain is that God's word is so true and so real, and that even if a lost person was to live by the rules of God's word and judgment, he would be better. He would do better off. But that's not the idea. The idea is that we're talking about Christians and the way Christians should think of judging and what saith the Lord. What saith the Lord? Well, there are rules regarding human judgment, man's judgment. The first one that we talked about was one should begin with what? With self-judgment. With self-judgment. Now, whether you do it on purpose, it's there. When you judge anything, whether it be your opinion, whether it be a condemnation, whether it be, I mean, we even judge, the thing about it is in the Olympics, that's all the Olympics are about, is people coming together in competition to be judged. You see that thing? Judgment is just not this one-track-minded thing that the world uses to whine and cry and have to have their diaper pulled up all the time about, oh, you don't judge me, and all this mess and poppycock and all this stupid stuff and whining and whining and whining that goes on in the world today. Judgment is much, much bigger than that and broader than that. Judgment is something that everybody is involved in. If you're a human, breathing person, you're involved in judgment. If your mind works and if your heart works, you have to judge. And you do judge. And it's a broad variety of things that come in the realm of judgment. And one should begin with self-judgment. And you not only should do it consciously, but you do it naturally. When you judge, judgment turns around and looks at you. When you judge a matter, when you make a judgment on something, it automatically reflects you and what your heart says and what your thinking says and what your judgment is. It automatically, if you judge somebody falsely, it automatically reflects your false judgment. It's just there. One should begin with self-judgment and does. What else? What's another rule? Well, it's to derive from spiritual mindedness. We are to judge according to the Spirit, according to spiritual matters, according to the Spirit. God the Holy Ghost is to be our guide in our judgments, and His Word is what He teaches us in order that we might judge righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. His word is true from the beginning, and it's pure. And we are to judge by spiritual mindedness. What else did we say? Well, we said that it should abound in love. Not talking about the world's kind of love. I don't even think it should be called love. It just shouldn't be called love, because that's not love. Christ's love is love. And remember what we said about this matter of judgment. We read Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and through 11. Let me read it to you again, talking about Christ's love and what it's affiliated with. When we talk about love in the world, and it's funny because the world does the same thing. When they whine and they cry baby about this judgment matter, the subject of love seems to always pop up when it comes to judgment. Do you ever notice that? It does. But listen to what the Word says. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in what? In knowledge and in all judgment. So if you say that you have some kind of, if you say that you love and that you live by love, and love is lovey, 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 love, 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 and all this, then if you do it properly, you're going to do it according to knowledge and according to judgment. It's going to show off what you know, and it's going to show off how your judgment is according to what you love. So love and knowledge and judgment are intertwined. You see, and the Lord, of course, is talking about righteous judgment, and he's talking about knowledge according to God's word and what is right, and the difference between right and wrong and truth and error. He's not talking about this kind of love that the world has. The world just the world's got some kind of stinking, nasty smelling love out there that ain't worth a flip. And we shouldn't be involved in that kind of love. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense. What is sincerity has to do with love and judgment and knowledge? Yeah. Sincere and without offense. So when you have Christ's kind of love and the knowledge and the judgment and the sincerity, guess what? It brings about that, it says, without offense till the day of Christ. When we're personally loving with the proper knowledge and the proper judgment that we should judge with, whether it be condemning or whatever it might be, as long as it's right and it's excellent and it's sincere, it's without offense till the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, love, joy, peace, and so on and so forth, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Amen. It should abound in love. What are we talking about? Talking about rules of judgment for the humans, for man. Rules. Talking about rules. Rules regarding human man's judgment. One should begin with self-judgment. It is to derive from spiritual mindedness. It is to abound in love. And that's where we left off on our last lesson, and we'll pick up here. Next, what about a rule? A rule for human judgment that's a good rule is one should be aware and conscious that our judgment is coming. And we are. If you're judging right and proper and you have the knowledge and you are approving things that are excellent and sincere in your walk with the Lord and spiritual minded and loving with Christ's love, that your judgment you will keep in mind, and it'll always remind you that you're going to stand in judgment before the Lord Jesus Christ, even though being part of the bride of Christ, part of the church, you're going to be judged for the works that you did in the body, not for condemning and not for sin, but what you did in the body after you were born again and adopted into the family of God. And we should keep that in mind, that one day we're going to stand before this almighty being that we have served by faith and not ever seen. But Paul says we shall see him as he is. We're going to see him. See him. And that's going to be something. Moses said when he seen him, he feared and quaked exceedingly. Yeah. Now, the Bible says for Christians, and the word of God teaches us as being in the family of God, that we are to fear God. And that's not talking about reverential trust. Of course we should reverent the Lord and show reverence to the Lord. Of course we should. But that reverence doesn't come from just trusting him. It comes from being scared of him. Well, you shouldn't be scared of God. What are you, some kind of a nut? You're talking about a supernatural being that could speak and say, die, and you would die? You go to these scary movies and watch all the world goes to all these scary movies so they can be scared but they know in the back of their mind they're going to get out and walk out the exit and everything's going to be like it was before they came in there. This is not going to be that way. When you stand before this being, he always has been. What's going on, one of the biggest scary things is that he is as we speak. The Lord is right this very second. We just serve him by faith, and that's why we don't fear him as much as we do, because we have not actually seen him. But there has been times in our life that he has been so evident that it has been scary, hasn't it? The closer, you know, people talk about this charismatic stuff and how when God the Holy Ghost becomes so full of God, let me tell you something, you're as full of God the Holy Ghost as you're ever going to get. You either have him or you don't. It's that way. It's not that you're three-quarters of the way full or a quarter of the way full. That's not it. That's not Bible. That's not Scripture. You either have God the Holy Ghost indwelling you or you do not. He is a person. He's not a filling. The Bible does say be filled with the Spirit, but it's not talking about getting more and more of God the Holy Ghost. It's emptying out more of you and giving him more reign in your life. Look at the context it's talking about. It's talking about giving him the authority in your life. It's not talking about being filled, somebody comes and pours water over your head and you get more of the Holy Ghost. That's not it. That's not Scripture. One should be aware and conscious that our judgment is coming. Listen to what the Scripture says in Romans chapter 14, verse 8 through 13. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived. There's your gospel. That's the New Testament Pauline epistle gospel. That he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Get that? Not the white throne judgment. Not the judgment of the nations, but the judgment seat of Christ. You have to listen to what the Scripture says and see that and rightly divide it. He's not, now, who's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? The unsaved? Absolutely not. They're not welcome there. Before the nations? No. They're going to stand before the white throne judgment. All of the lost and the dead in Christ. It says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about rules regarding judgment for humans, human judgment, man's judgment, Christian's judgment. One should be aware and conscious that judgment's coming for us and keep that in the back of our minds when we're making our judgments. But as we go on through here, you'll see, and it is, it's getting better and better, isn't it? Helping us, God's Word always helps us to understand matters like judgment and judging. So then, Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. And it's not talking about necessary judgment. It's talking about walking around looking for something to judge. And the next point will cover that. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore, but judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or any occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now, that's getting into a completely different subject, what he's talking about. What he said in the context there, talking about judgment, is true for us, and we can take that and live by it. But what he's actually talking about is judging your brother for eating sacrificial meat. And some people thought they could eat it, and there was nothing wrong. It's just meat. But if somebody in the body of Christ that doesn't understand, that's not mature in the Word of God, the Bible says, is not grown up in the Lord, he's still a babe, and he looks at you eating that meat that's sacrificed to devils, then he's going to think, well, that's not God's will. And if you rebuke him for it and judge him for it, he's going to fall. And you don't want to fall, or don't want to be a stumbling block. So listen what the Lord said. But judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, talking about food and things like that. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. And if he eats it, he's going to violate his own conscience before God and be eating it, knowing that God's disappointed in him, or believing that he's disappointed in him, until he gets in the Scriptures and grows more. You see, that's what he's talking about. But having to do with just judgment, and one should be aware and conscious that our judgment is coming, he said that very plainly, didn't he? So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more over silly things and matters that we should not judge. And that's what brings us to our next rule. What's the next rule? And one, having to do with rules and judgment and judging of humans, one should, if at all possible, not judge anything he does not have to. You see, the world thinks and has been trained and has been programmed that they are to walk around judging everybody else all the time about anything that they can find. And that's the problem in the society today, is everybody's in everybody else's business trying to judge. While all the long proclaiming that they don't want to be judged. But the fact of the matter is, the Scriptures teach us that judgment is necessary, and not only necessary, but in some ways it's automatic. When you cast judgment, judgment reflects upon you automatically. So judgment is there all the time. So the Scripture teaches us to practice not to judge if we don't have to. In other words, stay out of judgment if you don't have to be part of it. Yeah. One should, if at all possible, not judge anything he does not have to judge. How many people do you think that have served on a jury trial that have to put up with the evidence for and against somebody that has pickaxed a couple people, or cut them all to pieces, or mutilated an infant, or just some of the most horrid things? The people that sit on the jury and have to listen to all the details about all that stuff, how many of them do you think would say, I wish I had not been chosen to judge that? There are circumstances that you do not have to be part of. Now, a jury trial, if you're struck as a jurist, then you have no choice in that matter. It's your duty as a citizen. That's the way it works. But in everyday life, living as a child of God, you don't have to judge everything that you think that you have to judge. It's just the mindset that's in society today. And you watching that television, it teaches you to judge everything. And you listening to people and listening to all the news and all the liars on the television and all that nonsense. But in the Scriptures, God teaches us that if you don't have to judge, don't judge. And it takes effort not to do that, because society is completely against that today. You're supposed to be a tattletale. You're supposed to walk around looking for something that's wrong with somebody else so that you can get them in trouble. You're supposed to do all that. The old saying, high fences make good neighbors, and they do. But what are we talking about? We're talking about rules regarding judgment and judging for a human being. Not divine judgment, but human judgment. One should, if possible, not judge anything until he has to judge it. What scripture are we talking about? Well, Luke chapter 12, verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us an example and refused to be a judge in some matters. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. And sometimes they provoked him to be a judge or put him in circumstances to be a judge or to judge, and he refused it. Listen to what the scripture says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 14. This is the Lord Jesus talking after somebody approached him and said, Lord, go speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance to me. He must have been some kind of nut or something because his daddy didn't give him no inheritance and gave it all to his brother or something. I don't know the background of that, but the scripture doesn't teach us that. He just teaches us that his brother is the one that got the inheritance, and he didn't. And he didn't get any, so he's trying to get Jesus to go and speak to him and use his authority to get his brother to share the dough with him. But here's what Jesus answered. Luke chapter 12, verse 14. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And that was it. He said nothing else to that man. And he turned and started preaching on covetousness. But that was one liner that he answered him. I'm not judging that. That's not my business. Who made me a judge or a divider over you? I'm not your judge. I have nothing to do with that. I'm not judging that. And he immediately went to another subject, coveting, which probably that fellow didn't appreciate very much, but either way, he got it. The Lord Jesus gave us an example that if you don't have to judge, stay out of it. Train your thinking that if it's not my business, I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to have an opinion about it. I'm not going to let it be in my mind or in my thinking. I'm not going to study it. I'm going to carry on with my business. And we'll get on into some more scripture here. Listen to this. Luke chapter 12 and verse 57. Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? You know, it is a judgment to decide, I'm not going to judge that. Did you get that? The Lord said, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? You know, the first thing we're talking about is that judgment falls back on yourself when you make a judgment. But another thing is that it should run through your mind at the very beginning of any kind of temptation to judge or circumstance that would cause you to come into some kind of judgment, that you would say, wait a minute, is this my business? Is this something I am supposed to judge? Is it right for me to be part of this judgment? You ever think of that? How much trouble and how much aggravation and how much annoyance would be absent from your life if we studied that alone? We see that the Lord himself chose not to be part of some kinds of judgment and some situations and some circumstances when it come to being a judge. To going and telling somebody else, hey, listen, you got all this money, you ought to give him half of it. Wait a minute. Jesus said, that ain't none of my business. Who made me a divider over you and a judge? Y'all handle that. And he dismissed it. And we should too. How many things in our life having to do with the neighbors, having to do with family, having to do with people outside of our house, having to do with people at work, having to do with the news and that stinking television, and having to do with all the garbage that's on there that tries to fill your mind up with a bunch of stupid, idiotic stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with you living and breathing. And you probably never, ever come in contact or be affiliated with 99% of everything that's talked about on television anyway. And not only that, wherever else. But yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Now, what do you mean? Well, should I even be involved in this judgment at all? Should this be part of my thinking? We're talking about judgment and judging. You know, the world doesn't even consider that. They're ready to get in somebody's business. They're ready to judge anything at any time as long as fingers ain't pointed to them. And you got women out at the intersections at red lights getting out of their cars fist fighting in front of the world. Listen. Jesus refused to judge some things. If judgment cannot be avoided, make sure that your judgment is right. If it can't be avoided. But if you can, avoid it. Avoid judgment. But if you can't, make sure that your judgment is right. Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 5 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak, thus saith the Lord. Thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, even every one of them." God knows how we think, and He knows everything that comes into our mind, every one of them. If judgment cannot be avoided, make sure that your judgment is right. But if at all possible, avoid it. What else about having not judge anything if you don't have to? Well, if it is not the time for it, don't judge it. A lot of times, we're very premature in our judgment, and a lot of times, the judgment might not even come about. If it's not time for the judgment, and the Scripture does teach this, that we are to time our judgments. In other words, maybe it's just time to think about it rather than say something or judge it. Listen to what the Scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God." Judge nothing before the time. He didn't say don't judge it at all, but if you don't have to judge it, avoid it. And if you have to judge it, don't judge it until the time. Maybe even until the Lord come, who will be the judge of all the hidden things of darkness and the counsels of the hearts. What else? Well, not only Jesus refused to judge some things, and if judgment cannot be avoided, make sure it's right. And if it's not the time for it, don't judge it. But minding your own business lessens what one has to judge. If you just stay out of everybody else's business and mind your own business, you'll find that you're not approached with that much judgment. Yeah. Most of the people that have problems with judgment and having to make decisions and judging this and judging that and judge, and all this business because it's somebody else's business. Listen to what the Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. "And that ye study, in other words, this ain't going to come natural, you have to study it. And that you study, practice, study to be quiet And what else? And to do your own business. And to work with your own hands. Is this a suggestion? No, it's a commandment. As we commanded you. Let me read it. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. That would take care of a majority of things and problems having to do with human judgment, would it not? Sure it would. Divine judgment, human judgment, man's judgment is not divine judgment. It's human judgment. And it's supposed to be spiritual. And it's supposed to be with love. And also, if you don't have to judge, don't judge at all. Avoid it. You know, the context above, that the stuff that we've been talking about here, and the meaning, the context that we're talking about, it dictates the meaning of the commands. It's a personal... It is a personal matter that has nothing to do with social or legal moral codes. Judgment certainly does need to be made against lawbreakers. That's not what we're talking about here. The command is that in personal matters, a believer, now remember the world is different and cannot know judgment like a believer can. The command is that in personal matters of believers not to judge without love, mercy, and forgiveness. Now that does not mean that his, you know, where the Bible clearly condemns a practice or teaching, the truth of the Scripture is to be proclaimed. The Bible clearly declares that. But where judgment must be made, the goal is always that there be restoration of the offending brother, if possible. That he repents, that he's sorry, that he tells, gets right with God, gets right with the people, and everything goes on and moves on. Forgiveness, though, by no means is an approval of sin. Jesus told that one woman that was a whore, that was taken in adultery, remember? He said, "Thy sins are forgiven." Where are your accusers? She says, "They're gone, Lord. There are none." He said, "Neither do I accuse you. Go." And what else did he say? Do you know? What else did he say? He said, "Go." In other words, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. You're forgiven, but cut it out. Right? John 8:11. And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." There's responsibility in forgiveness. He forgave her sin without accepting it or promoting it. The reason this does not work for the lost is that they want the truth, mercy, and forgiveness without the truth of the Scriptures being proclaimed. A sort of generic forgiveness without confrontation of their intention to continue their sins. I want to be forgiven, but I want also the chance to be able to go back and commit adultery again. I don't want to quit my fornicating, but I do want to be forgiven for what I have done. Yes, of course. It's not the way it works, friend. Go and sin no more. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the blood of Christ bought for you, that you can be forgiven every time you confess it to God in a sincere and honest heart and truthful. And tell the Lord what you done, and tell Him how you did it and what you did, and ask Him for strength never to do it again. But the intention of you telling it to the Lord is that you want forgiveness, but you also realize who you are, not what you have done. If you, being evil, remember the Lord called us that? He's right, we are. until we get out of this flesh, or the Lord comes and snatches us out of here and changes our vile bodies and fashions them like unto His glorious body. He forgave her sin without accepting it and promoting it. You know, love, mercy, and forgiveness always comes after judgment, not before. They got it twisted. Even the churches have got that twisted. If you come to church, you're automatically forgiven, and you get love, mercy, and forgiveness, and all that sort of business. If you just come to church and be part of the fellowship and sing and blah, blah, blah. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you have to do business with the Lord, with your Heavenly Father, in order to get forgiveness. As a Christian, as a son of God, you have to come to the Lord and confess your sins. Confess them. He already knows what you've done, but He wants you to spit it out. And whenever you tell the Lord and are able to confess it and say it with your own mouth to Him, what you did, why you did it, how you did it, and what the condition of your heart was when you did it, and how rebellious you were, the more you say and confess to the Lord, the cleaner you get. And the Lord grants you, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, even the things that you can't remember that you've done wrong and sinned against Him. He cleanses you from all of that also. Amen. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. That's good stuff, huh? That's good stuff. Amen, amen. What we've been talking about? Well, we've been talking about rules regarding man's judgment, rules regarding it. We spoke on our last recording about one should begin with self-judgment and how that operates inside the heart of us when we make judgments, that we judge ourselves automatically, and that we ought to consciously judge ourselves before we get involved in any kind of judgments. But it's to derive from spiritual mindedness. It's supposed to be a spiritual matter and a spiritual business when it comes to judgment. And it should abound in love, Christ's love. And today we talked about one should be aware or conscious that our judgment's coming. Now, we're going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to see Him with our own eyes and all His majesty. And we're going to personally talk to Him face to face with nobody else involved in it about ourselves, about us. And you think you're going to be honest with that? You better believe you are. You'll be honest there more than you've ever been true and honest and clean and washed and everything else. We're going to stand there before Him and talk about what we did in the body for Him while after He saved us with His blood. One should be aware of and conscious that our judgment's coming. And finally, we talked about today, one should, if at all possible, not judge anything. He does not have to judge. If it's not your business, stay out of it. Unless it's absolutely necessary for you to get involved. Now, that's not preached in the churches, and it should be everywhere to every Christian. It should be preached to the heathen. Mind your own business. Well, is that scriptural? Of course it is. And that you study to be quiet. That's difficult enough, isn't it? You got to study to keep your mouth shut. Study to be quiet and to do your own business. Mind your own business. And to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. Jesus refused to judge Himself. And if judgment can be avoided, make sure it cannot be avoided. Make sure that your judgment is correct and right before the Lord. And if it's not time to judge, be quiet about it. Think about it instead of speaking about it. Zip it. And I'm speaking about myself. Boy, that's something that I have to really rely and it seems like it just comes from all the way to the bottom and just blows right out of my throat, and it's just that quick, and I'm guilty about that. And I especially have to study to be quiet and not get involved in judgment. That's not my business. And if it's not time for it, don't judge it. And minding your own business lessens what one has to judge. Amen. Amen. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. We'll stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures right quick if you're ready. Romans chapter 14, verse 8 through 13. Luke chapter 12, verse 14. Luke chapter 12, verse 57. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. John chapter 8 and verse 11. And that's what we read today out of God's Word and studied out of God's Word. Lots of good stuff in there. And go back and read over those scriptures and let them saturate your mind and saturate your heart, because they are right and true altogether. Righteous and true altogether. The next thing that we're going to talk about when we get together is the basis or the grounds or foundations of human judgment. What's the basis of it? What's the grounds of human judgment? I mean, what's the grounds of it? Where do you get the authority from? Where's your judgment originate from, the basis for human judgment? Well, where should it come from? What's the basis? What's the grounds of it, the foundation of it? We'll talk about that and talk about that some on our next one, okay? God bless you for studying the Lord's Word. I appreciate you and admire you for disciplining yourself for the Lord's sake and learning His Word. I cherish you as a brother and a sister. And the Lord be kind to you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.